As we prepare for this week, Thanksgiving, of course, on Thursday. Mentioned last week that for me personally, it's my favorite holiday, just the simplicity of Thanksgiving. Really, to me, the spirit or the celebration of Thanksgiving has really captivated more the heart of and the spirit of Christmas, in my opinion, just with that simplicity. And so I don't like to skip over Thanksgiving. In fact, I like to celebrate, and I celebrate it, and I think we've done that well thus far this service with the selection of our music and our prayers, so on and so forth. So as I mentioned, we take a time out from the book of Romans. We went through five chapters. We're probably going to be in Romans the majority of 2025, God willing. And we'll take this morning to extract and learn from the Word of God about Thanksgiving, gratitude. A holiday we celebrate in America in which we think of turkey and mashed potatoes, football, family and friends. But also, I pray a time to reflect, be thankful for our God and to our God who has been abundantly gracious to us. So with that being said, we'll look at seven different verses or passages that focus on some type of thanks or thanksgiving. And we'll stay in order to make it easy on you. If you have a paper Bible like I do, we'll stay in order so that way if you're using the paper Bible, you can continue to move forward in it throughout the sermon. So with that being said, before we get into these seven scriptures or passages, let's take a moment to pause and pray. Hello, babe. I had to greet my wife. I'm sorry. Just saw her in the back. Is her face turning red? Okay. All right. She was part of the third wave today. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather. And Lord, we are people of thanksgiving that would glorify you when we have attitudes of gratitude. We have so much, God, to be thankful for. Help us to reflect today, to continue to meditate and be thankful upon all that you have given to us so with so much love and mercy. Your goodness endures forever. You're long-suffering, you're patient, you're kind. Help us to remember those things, the character of our God. Today, Holy Spirit, give clarity to the listener. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of the SBC family said, thank you for that. We'll start off in Alma saying, the praise team sang, already referenced this in one of the song selections, Psalm 100, which is well known. And it says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with thanksgiving, or with singing, forgive me. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. What lesson can be extracted from that wonderful psalm? Well, when we enter into worship, we are to do so, as we just read, with thanksgiving. Psalm says, be thankful and bless his name. How? Bless the name of God with a heart full of thanksgiving. Why? Well, his truth endures to all generations. Our God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the everlasting, never-changing God. And he's so good that he continues to mold and shape us and conform us into his image. But his truth endures to all generations. It's not going to change. And I want you to really be thankful for that this week, that he doesn't change. We need a never-changing God. We really, really do in this world that's constantly changing. And often the change that's happening in our society or in our world or in our country is not for the better, as we know. I was talking with a couple this morning about some of the changes in the church that they had been attending for years. Not good changes, not biblical changes. And we have to make sure as the Church of Jesus Christ that we don't change the foundations of the faith, that we don't start to change what truth is. Why? Because God's truth endures to all generations. If you want to bless his name, if you want to enter into his gates, the gates were a prominent place in those days. That's where the chief elders of the city and the town would gather at the gates. Well, we should be preparing our hearts to enter into praise and every aspect of the worship service. Remember, worship is bowing low in service. It's not just the praise, that's a big piece of it, the singing, but it's the offering. It's the teaching and the preaching of God's word. It's the greeting people. Every aspect of it, we're to enter into his gates, into his presence with a spirit, with a heart of thanksgiving, and bless his name. That will bless the name of God. We are so to be so thankful that his truth is not going to change. I'm so happy about that. That it doesn't matter if it's almost 2025 or it was 1975 or 1875 or 65 AD, like the time Paul was writing to the Romans. God remains the same. He remains faithful and he remains true. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 15. You'll know many of these passages. There's nothing highly complex about some of these accounts. Many of them, or at least some of them, referring directly to Jesus. And this one, so well known, Jesus in Matthew 15, feeding the 4,000. Remember, there was a time also in the Gospels of feeding the 5,000. But in Matthew chapter 15, picking up in verse 32, this is the 4,000 fed. It says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and they have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill such a great multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have we? How many loaves do we have? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes. And what was the first thing he did? He gave thanks. Now, when I read that, I've written down, well, what did he say thanks for? We know he was speaking to the Father, but what did he say? Did he thank the Father for the little that was given? Did he thank the Father that it would be multiplied? What did he thank God? All we know is this: he gave thanks. That was the first thing Jesus did. And we should be following that pattern as well. We should be thankful, overflowing. Like Psalm 23 says, my cup runneth over. And I pray by the end of the sermon that that's how you really get to know God, the God of the abundant blessings. We have been chosen, the elect of God. If you know Jesus Christ, you've been chosen by God to be a child of God. There's nothing greater than that. And Jesus here, in the midst of the doubt of the disciples who have been walking with him, and all these multitudes, 4,000 people are hungry. And Jesus, having compassion on them, says, give me the loaves, give me the fish. And he gives thanks. And what's another lesson we can extract from that? God can take a little and multiply it to much when we give thanks. Be thankful for the little that you have. And even if God decides not to multiply the little, still be thankful. That actually brings even more glory to God. That you could be contented and thankful with less. That brings glory to God. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're also going to look at Luke chapter 18. And Luke chapter 17, we're going to look at, again, very well-known passage. Someone brought this up to me this week, the 10 lepers, the 10 that were healed. Luke 17, picking up with verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. That was the position of the leper. They could be nowhere close to regular society. They had an incurable skin disease, which still exists today, but uncommon, certainly uncommon, if not non-existent here in North America. But in other parts of the world, maybe like Nepal and India, this still exists to a certain extent. And there's still leper colonies. But back in Jesus' day, this was very common, and the lepers had to remain a certain distance away. They could not be part of regular society. And Jesus is walking through, and they lift up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them. Now, I'm really weak in math, but I know that one out of 10 is 10%. That's a tithe.
Well, just one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan.
Wow, you can't get a tougher lot than that. A Samaritan leper? Everybody hated you. You were an outcast to everyone, yet this one who was forgiven much, loves much, and demonstrates his gratitude.
Jesus says this. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but
where are the 9?
It's a good question. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole.
What's the lesson or lessons in that of thanksgiving?
Giving thanks to God publicly and passionately, stranger, meaning someone who may not know God or not, brings glory to God.
I was reflecting this week on an old friend of mine. His name is Scott. I won't tell you his last name. Well, sure I will. Scott Wilson. Maybe he'll listen to this and be blessed. There was no one like Scott Wilson. I haven't seen him in a long time. I've looked him up. And I'm reminded of my friend Scott Wilson with this leper. Because Scott Wilson, man, you knew if Scott was in service, by the way. He would attend Koinonia Fellowship. I'll tell you how you know he's in service. Because when he would praise, he'd lift up his voice and shout unto the Lord. And sometimes people would actually get a little bit scared. In fact, so much so that one time the worship leader at the time invited him out to breakfast to talk to him about it. And I said, man, how did it go? He goes, you know, I got to tell you, Scott, Brother Scott, man, could you just lower it down a little bit? Because some people get a little bit scared when you're shouting. He said, yeah, sure, no problem, with humility. But let me tell you something about Brother Scott. The same way he would worship God amongst a whole congregation, he would do it just me and him. He'd pray with passion. He'd pray with all his heart. He'd sing unto the Lord. It didn't have to be a congregation. It doesn't matter. I've been out on, did street ministry with Brother Scott. He was always the same. Public worship, private worship. He was like this leper. That's who he was like. And to be honest with you, I admire that heart. I admire that heart of passion and thanksgiving. Why? Because it brings glory to God if it's sincere and it's pure. See, that's why we have to be careful, church. We have to be so careful not to judge others. I know that this, as I was telling a couple visitors today, that this has been now in year 3, this has been a merging of church cultures. And from the history of this church that I've known in the past, who's been here a long time, people didn't raise their hands in worship, right? It's like, can't raise our hands, we've got to keep our hands down. Well, it's not wrong to raise your hands according to the Word of God. Says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. You see, it's not wrong to keep your hands down. It's what's right is between you and God, your attitude of your heart. And we know this, that the other 9 weren't thankful at all. How? There was no demonstration of it. They simply forgot how much God had cleansed them from. This disease which kept them outcast, that Jesus had compassion on them and just healed them in a moment's time on their way to the priest, how quickly we forget what God has done for us. That's one of the lessons in this.
How quickly we forget. 2 lessons to extract from that account of the 10 lepers, but we have to be so careful because the beauty of the body of Christ is people worship differently.
God intended it that way. Some people might stomp their foot, right? You ever been to a place where they're all in straight jackets during worship, and then you get one person with a light clap, and they're like, guys, can we just Listen, if you're really worshiping God, you're not so concerned about the Scott Wilsons and what everybody else is doing. Then you got to be careful, because it can go the other way in worship. And we're going to see that right now in the next account. If you just go right over to Luke chapter 18, verse 9. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, the tax collector. Starting at verse 9, says, "And he spake," this is Jesus, "he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Bad start. "Two men went up into the temple to pray." This is Jesus speaking this parable. Parable being an earthly story with a heavenly lesson. "The one a Pharisee and the other a publican," or tax collector. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector, this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, just like those lepers, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but beat or smote upon his chest, his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you," Jesus says, "this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled or abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." What is the lesson here? You can be praying to yourself when you are praying pridefully. We are to esteem others higher than ourselves. We are to condescend to men of low estate, the lepers. We are to be clothed with humility. God was meek and lowly. Prideful prayer is not listened to or received by God. This man was praying to himself. And so the other side of that coin in regards to public worship or prayer would be, someone could be doing it with lots of pride and to be seen and falsely. And the bottom line is, my friend, Jesus saw it, but we can't. So we have to be careful. Let me say this. I know this for a fact. If somebody came in here and started, you know, running down the aisles with banners and everything, we would talk to them. If the elders, I would. Okay, I'd be the first guy to talk to them. Gently, but I'd pull them right aside. Okay, because obviously that's extremely distracting. And if you think that's something that's going to benefit the building up of the church or glorify God, well, if you're the only one doing it, probably not. But we have to be so, so careful. There is order. Our God is a God of order in all things. But our God also says that we have freedom in Christ. And when we're worshiping God, no matter what act of worship it is, there's freedom in that. God designed some people, and they're very stoic. You know, I'm part of the Rochester Rapids basketball program, and to try to get Ukrainian people to laugh is a miracle a lot of times. And I'm not saying that, and I love the Ukrainians, and somehow they gravitate to me, but man, to get them to laugh, I feel like I really accomplished something. They're just stoic people. And then you have other people, right? You have the Italians, and they're passionate, and they're using their hands, you know, and my friend Randy, I had him on the radio program the other day, and we kept hitting the table, and the guy said, "You got to stop," because that's... And every culture has different cultural norms. It's just how you were raised. There's nothing wrong with that. In God's house, there is order. But we can't be afraid of people raising their hands. You know, some people do the cup. You know, how it's between you and God. It's between you and God. That's it. You want to stand? You want to kneel? You want to sing loudly? You want to sing softly? You want to put your hands together? You want to put your hands between you and God? Until it gets to the point where it becomes very distracting, then we will talk to you. If no one else, I will. Very kindly. A lot of lessons here. God opposes pride. He opposes it. But he gives grace to the humble. That leper that came back, humility, thanksgiving, thanks. The Pharisee, Jesus saw right at him. Said this man prayed by himself. Think about that. Have you ever thought about that? He was praying by himself. Why? Because he thought he was better than everybody else. And it was not a good fragrance. It was a stench in the nostrils of God. He opposes that. Be careful of your heart attitude in prayer. Have a heart of thanksgiving. when you enter into praise, when you enter into prayer, when you enter into worship of any type. So important to bless God's name, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, as we read. Let's look at Philippians 4:6, a very well-known one. Quoted this last week. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. This is a memory verse, and it's a good memory verse. But in everything, by prayer and supplication or request, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lesson. Maybe we pray and we make requests, supplications, but we do it without thanksgiving. Maybe we pray with anger, bitterness, pride, resentment, and therefore we do not have the peace of God that's promised here when we pray. Because we just skip over the with thanksgiving part. See, God hears the heart. You remember Psalm 100? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's be honest, not everybody's a good singer. God hears the sound of your heart. He hears the sound of your soul. He'd rather have a bad singer with a pure sound than a great singer with a prideful sound. Believe it or not. God knows. When you speak the oracles of God, people hear your heart. They hear the spirit behind it. We've talked about this. That's why street preachers often have such a bad name. Because the street preacher could be preaching the word of God, but they're doing it with a spirit of hatred and pride. And even the stranger, the lost person, hears that and sees that. There's no compassion, there's no love. And the same goes for music, and the same goes for the reading of scripture, and the same goes for anything in the stead of God, service unto God. We've talked about it before. If you're a greeter, if you serve food, it's not a great feeling. Maybe you're going to go out to eat this week someplace. Make sure you go to Grandpa Sam's. No, I'm just kidding. That was my plug for you last, okay? But maybe you're going to go out to eat this week. And isn't it the worst feeling to go out to eat? You're all ready, and you go, and you're looking for, you haven't eaten a lot during the day because you're ready to sit down. And then all of a sudden, your server comes up to the table. Hey, how are you today? Good. And what can I get for you? My name is Dominic. Specials today are turkey and stuffing, you know, happy Thanksgiving. And you're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And you're scared to ask for another glass of water. And you're scared. See, that's what it's like to serve God without thanksgiving, to serve people without thankful hearts. That's what it sounds like. That's what it looks like. You know, those of you who have a gift of hospitality, how do you know if you have a gift of hospitality? Because later on in Romans, it's going to start speaking about some of the gifts in Romans chapter 12. How do you know? I'm going to tell you how you know. When people come inside your home, they feel the most welcome they ever had. Doesn't matter what the home looks like. It could be a little hut. It could be a mansion. But they feel like it's their home. You have the gift of hospitality. You see? And thanksgiving is part of that. Thanksgiving is part of that. We're to be thankful people in all acts of worship, service unto our Lord in humility. Lesson number 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, just two left. Tom had been teaching on this. This was part of it on our Wednesday night devotions a few weeks back. It says this, in everything, key word there, everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There it is, folks. Everybody said, what's the will of God? I don't know what the will of God for my life is. I don't know. Should I get this job? Should I move here? Should I move? No, I'm going to tell you the will of God. The word of God makes it very simple. Everything. Employed, unemployed, sick, healthy, rich, poor, you be thankful. Then you're in the center of God's will. It says, in everything, give thanks. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. What a beautiful lesson we learn, as I just finished in my regular reading time, the book of Job. In losses and trials, we talked about it. Job says this, when he loses all of his children, and he's informed of this,
Job says, naked I came in and naked I go out. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Wow, is God glorified in that statement. God is glorified in that.
What a man of God. How about Paul? To know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, I have learned to be content. God is exalted, most exalted in us when we are most content in him.
When is the last time we were thanked God for a hardship? It says everything give thanks. The sinner, the tax collector loves their own. It's easy to be thankful when you're on a mountaintop, when the bank account is full, when everybody's healthy, when everything is rainbows and puppies and lollipop. But what about when it gets hard? What about when you go through a Job experience? Are we still thanking God like Job did? That's the test of where you are in your walk with God, by the way. And when Job's wife comes to him at the lowest of low and he's scraping boils off of himself into a pot, and his wife, who's supposed to be his helper, says to him, do you still retain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? And listen to what Job says.
Listen to what Job says. Shall we receive good and not evil at the hand of our Lord?
You speak like one of the foolish women. See, this was a man of God. This tested him and showed what he was made of. His devotion to God was pure with thanksgiving, regardless of circumstance. His heart and his mind was guarded because he had thanksgiving in his prayers. Would rise early in the morning to offer up sacrifices in case his children had sinned. This was a man of God. Now, just like any other person, after a while, he started to doubt. He started to have a pity party. This is natural. And if you know the account, you know in the end, God restored him, gave him double what he had prior to all those trials. The last passage we'll look at, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to his last letter to his spiritual son, Timothy. And I will say, this is the disadvantage sometimes of the paper Bible. I love the paper Bible. I don't plan on changing anytime soon. But much like that phone, did you see that phone in that overhead? You know, the ones you gotta flip and you gotta find it. I found it. It says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And this has to do with the apostasy. It says, this know also that in the last days, verse 1, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, this is verse 2, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. And I'll pause there, the list goes on. Unthankful. Well, what's the lesson here? Contextually speaking, thankfulness is a marker of the apostasy of the church. You know that the church right now it's just consumer mentality. Well, let's see we're going to visit a church. Let's visit. What church are we going to visit today? Well, here you are. Here's the menu. Okay, let me take a look. Men's breakfast, women's breakfast. Oh, youth group on Friday nights, hon. Children's ministry, 0 to 6. Gosh, they have a women's Bible study. They have nothing for the early teens. We got to go to a different restaurant. I meant church. Unthankful. Listen, the church is supposed to serve. The church is supposed to serve with thanksgiving. That's what this is about. This is not about come and just take, take, take. This is about come and give, give, give. Give, give, give. Give, 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 give. This is about others. This is about Jesus Christ, what he gave for us, and his example to us give unto others. That example. You understand? But the modern church today, it's lights, camera, action. Come on out. We got this. We got that. And let me tell you, some of it is quite sickening. Thank God that there's still good, faithful churches around. There's still churches that teach and preach the Word of God. There's many of them. But one of the markers of Apostasy, falling away, is just unthankful. You ever, and I was telling my younger boys this, because their friend just got a hostessing job here, 14 years old. And he said he was given $50, mostly for being cute, which I believe that, as a host. I was telling my sons, I said, listen, if you go and you do a job like that and you just say thank you and please and you're polite and you make eye contact, the older generation's going to love you. Why? That's gone. That's gone. You hold the door open for someone, they walk right by you like you're invisible. Unthankful. God forbid that the church would become unthankful. God forbid. Why do you think we just, you know, me personally, Christmas is great, but I can't listen to the Christmas music before we celebrate and remember Thanksgiving. Why do we want to skip over something simple, pure, that reminds us of the goodness of God, that reminds us of all that God has given to us in form of family and friends and everything else? You see, that's a marker, unthankful. So with that being said, I want to end with this. Some things to think about. For example, what do we lack? What do we lack? I was spending a lot of time looking at a global perspective this week. Looking at where we are ranked. Let me just read to you some statistics within the last couple years. If you make roughly $6,500 in a month, that's what the average American makes, according to the year 2022, might be a tad higher. I think it's around $80,000 annually. And by the way, our country ranks, according to one study, number 3 out of 200 of the wealthiest in the world. Number 3. Did you decide where you were born? No, you didn't. God did. Number 3, $80,000. Well, let me give you some perspective, and hopefully this will give us some Thanksgiving. India is at $2,540 a month, not bad. Haiti, $1,740. Sudan, how about this? Sudan, $990. Now, I'm going to speak to you, this is annually, this next one. Afghanistan, listen to this, this will blow you away. In the entirety of a year, U.S. dollars, average income, $360. Some of you spend more than that on groceries in a week. That's their annual income in dollars. You say, what about, how about this? The poorest country, and we have a gentleman sitting amongst us right now who's very familiar with this country, and I believe he'll be going there very soon. Burundi, annually, $199.60. Annually. What do we lack? Why are we unthankful? God forbid that we should ever complain about anything. And that's just monetary. But monetary does have a big effect on your lifestyle, does it not? When is the last time you and I slept on a dirt floor? When's the last time we didn't eat for 3 days because we couldn't? When's the last time we didn't get to just go in our car and drive wherever? When's the last time we had a leaky roof and we couldn't fix it? Folks, wake up. Wake up. Don't be unthankful. Thank God for what He's given unto you. Don't look at the cup as being half empty. You know, my father-in-law had bypass surgery. It went well. He prayed, thank you. You can look at that one of two ways. You can be mad that he had bypass surgery, or you can be thankful that he made it through the surgery. You see, which one do you think God wants you to have? Which attitude? We have so much here. Now maybe you understand why I go to Kenya. Now maybe you understand why it's hard for me to have a pity party if my kids don't always get designer whatever. Guys, we're the rich young ruler. We are the rich young ruler. Some of you noticed I had on a new shirt today. You're right. It only cost me $10, by the way. Because it's hard for, you know, it's tough. How can I spend $50, $60, $70 on a shirt when Burundi, they make $200 in a year? Are we giving people? Are we thankful people? Because that's the heart of God. Or do we just look at our brother and sister and say, be warm and be filled, we'll pray for you. We'll pass by on the other side of you. As you are sleeping on the street, we'll pass by just like the Levite, just like the priest. And it'll be a stranger, somebody that knows not Christ, that will stop and feed them and clothe them. God forbid, church. God forbid.
We have ample opportunity right here in Rochester. You say, well, I'm not going to go to Kenya. I understand that. Some of you can't, you're not capable of flying. I understand that. Well, we have a Christmas party December 20th at Lakeview Apartments. Those people are poor as well. Those people are in wheelchairs. Those people live in a subsidized housing with the police there every night. Bless them. Give to the leper, those that are standing afar off. It's not about Spencer Port. It's not about affluency. It's about Christ. The heart of the Messiah. Look at Jesus. Read through the Gospels. When people were hungry, we just read it. What did he do? He fed them. When people had leprosy, he went to them. When a woman was caught in adultery, he forgave her. When a man was seeking the truth called Nicodemus, he revealed it to him. Our God's a God of action. Our God is a God of action. We need to study to know God, study to show ourselves approved. We need to have sound doctrine, good doctrine, because there's a lot of bad stuff out there. We need to know what the truth is, how to explain it. We need to defend the faith. We need to do all of that. But if we do all of that and we put no feet, no hands, no action on it, it's all for naught. James would say, faith without works is dead. It's action. You've heard this said before. For some people, the only Bible they'll ever read is you. They're not going to pick up a Bible. They're not going to listen to a Christian program. They're watching you and they're listening to you and they're wondering, how come you condescend him? How come you go visit the lowly, the poor? How come you go see the sick and afflicted? How come you give to those in need? Because of Jesus Christ. Because the example that he set in my life and how he's changed me and conformed me into his image, because he never changes. I'm going to end with just a couple things, with a quote from two great theologians. And maybe you've never heard of them. If you haven't, I apologize. Willie Nelson and Charlie Brown. As I was looking up quotes on Thanksgiving this week, I said, let me just use these two guys. One of them's not even, you know, he's a cartoon character, but they took him away a couple years ago. Come on, folks. Willie Nelson said this, when I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around. Charlie Brown. Is that special back this week? I hope it is. I hope Charlie Brown's back on the air, that we didn't get so woke that we took away Charlie Brown. I pray he's back. If not, look up his specials. They're great. Charlie Brown, what if today we were just grateful for everything? You ever thought about that? What if today we were just grateful for everything? I listened to this hymn. I sent it in a little devotion I sent out to some of you. I don't know. It's a list that I've had for a while, so I just sent it out on YouTube with this hymn that I probably played like 25 or 30 times that day as I walked the Town of Greece track. Maybe I did some mall walking. That's how I'm getting older. If I'm mall walking, I'm getting older. I submit to that, okay? But it goes like this, and it's such a beautiful hymn, man. Wow, such a beautiful hymn. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I thought about writing them out. I didn't. I thought about, maybe I'm going to start doing that. I think there'd be lots of paper. Lots of paper from the symbol. Because we overlook so much. We overlook so much. We overlook the health we've been given. We overlook the financial blessings we've been given. We overlook the food and the shelter. We overlook our friends and our family. We overlook so much because we live in the land of abundance. And God warned the Israelites, when you come into places, to homes that I have given you, that you have not built, and I give you food that you have not grown. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, be careful that you do not forget. And that's exactly what has happened here in America. We have forgotten the giver of all good things, every good and
perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, and where there's no variableness or shadow of turning. God has demonstrated his goodness to us in such abundant, lavish measures.
Pray you listen to the advice of the Word of God. Have a very blessed Thanksgiving. Enjoy the week, not just the day. And I want to encourage you to count your many blessings and see what God has done for you. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather amongst your people, amongst your bride. You have been so good to us, undeservedly, so good to us. I speak for myself here, God. My cup does run over with blessings. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for my family, God, my wife, my children, our extended family, Lord. I thank you that my father-in-law has made it through, God, a very dangerous procedure, Lord. I pray for healing for him, God. Thank you for all those who have come around us and come around him. I thank you for those that are going through physical trial right now. Father, and you've been with them every step of the way. Give them a peace that passes understanding as they seek you with thanksgiving. Give them that peace, God. You've never left us. You've never abandoned us, Lord. You've always been so merciful and good to us. Help us to just reflect this week on your goodness in spite of maybe the trial or the hardship. Help us to be like Job and say, be thankful in all things, and all things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We thank you and we praise you. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, and all of the SBC family once again said, amen. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Jim, I think forgot to mention this. There is no Wednesday devotion this week, right? Is that right, Barry? The night before Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy the presence of God. In Jesus' name, we love you. Thank you so much.